gives is there tangible touch of God, or did it just pass the time? So Lord, we do. We thank you for your touch, tangible touch. So, the word is out. Yeah, thanks for joining us. 10 Harvey Road, Sunday nights. Howie Christian petrol station. Don't be late. You can be early if you like. Always need people to help pack our chairs and make coffee. But don't be late. And I know a lot of you got encouraged to move forward tonight. James, you always do a good job at that. But I think in the coming months, you're not going to have to do that. Except that bunch at the back over there. sorry. My wife says business class is always in front. Very funny. Right. We're going to take up the offering. Yay! It's giving time! Just those of you who weren't here this morning, we just mentioned about the Thursday night training time that we're going to have for the small group leaders in the church. We believe we have to equip our believers in the church to do the most important job in the kingdom, and that's to reproduce. And God loves us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. Thank you. We can take up the offering. And part of that is he wants us to grow up as a church, to become strong, to be equipped. So we want to equip the leaders to help us as the eldership to get the job done. And we're going to be doing training on Thursday nights, but we've opened it up. We've sent out a letter to the small group leaders. So if you're a small group leader and you didn't get it, please speak to James or myself tonight. But if you would just like to come along for the training, it's not a closed meeting. It's not exclusive, chosen, frozen. It's for the whosoever who would like to be equipped. And I would highly recommend it. So Thursday night, if you are going to come, is there a clipboard that we can get your email address on? An email, a clipboard is going to get passed around. Here we go. Thank you, Nita. And just pass it row down row by row. And we will start this Thursday. If we get your email address tonight, we want to post you the notes for Thursday. So if you haven't got it by Tuesday afternoon, please phone the office. There has been an administration glitch. But all systems go. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, guys. And then we are very, very blessed to have Quibus. The second best thing Quibus ever did was join Highway. The best thing he ever did was marry Nicole. And Quibus is going to just come and share with us. I said to him 30 minutes, so we'll honor our word. Open your heart. I know our meeting is going to be going a little bit longer. We did the hour thing, but we're going to be going back to a normal, like, wheel flow. So Sunday nights aren't going to be strictly 6 to 7, as was kind of the idea last year, but we're kind of going to be stretching it a bit. Amen. Sheesh, I hope you can get them more excited than I can.
Well, thank you for Quibus. Eh?
Thank you for Quibus, Lord. Just pray just your butterflies inside him or flying formation right now. And just your peace and words be given to him to express this burden of joy you've put on his heart for tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you, Father. Before I start, I just want to thank Janet and Steve. It's It's a privilege to preach, and thank you for honoring me with this opportunity. Just before we start, if we can just pray. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful evening, Lord.
We'll pray. I'll just get your sound right while you pray.
Is that better? Yeah, that echo's not coming back. Father, we just thank you for this evening. I thank you for just this word that you've given me, Lord, for the church. I thank you for everybody that's here, Lord, and everybody that's not here, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this to us, Lord God, and that we will just have a relation in your word every time we study, every time we look at it, Lord, that you'll show us new things, Father. And I just pray that for this evening, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're with us, and we know that, each one of us. Thank you, Lord. If you can turn to, in your Bibles, if you've got them here, Matthew 11:26. The parallel account to this is in Luke 10, but let's just start there. At the time, Jesus, I'm adding full of joy through the Holy Spirit. When I read this, I thought of Sophie, so I was wondering if Jesus was giving a good laugh when he was saying this. And I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, just to explain the context of the scripture, we don't see clearly who Jesus is talking to here in Matthew. You need to sort of figure out. But when we take the account in Luke 10, it clearly identifies it as the audience as the 70 disciples that Jesus chose and sent out before him as they visited the different cities. If you reading an NIV Bible, it might say 72. Depending on which manuscripts were used, some translations translated as 70, others as 72. But I feel 70 is a significant number, and I'm going to explain that now to you. So I feel 70 was the correct number. In Genesis 46:27, you see everything is these pictures. And we see the house of Jacob, when they go to Egypt, there's 70 members that go to Egypt. When the Israelites go on the Exodus, the first stop that they have, they stop at a place and there's 70 palm trees and there's 12 springs. And you see where I'm going to go with this. When God told Moses to choose elders, he chooses 70 elders. Now, the Sanhedrin, who was in charge, who was basically the council in Jesus' day of the Hebrew nation, with the Roman Empire, basically, how many people do you think were in the Sanhedrin council? 70. 70 people. So we see a picture here of Jesus pointing to the new kingdom that's coming and the government of his new kingdom. He's chosen 12 apostles representing the 12 tribes of Israel and 70 people representing the council to come in the future. It's basically a picture. And I'm going to use some Hebrew words in between, and I'll explain them later to you. What you call this is a remez in Hebrew interpretation, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But something, so the audience here is the 70 or 72 people, disciples that have just returned. Basically, if you look at it, the Luke account, these guys were really excited. They've just been sent out, and they come back and they say, "Hey, Jesus, in your name, even the demons left." And they were very excited about this. But let's just continue with... So they're very excited. But these 72 guys, you need to realize, with Hebrew people, they were very knowledgeable of Scripture. And when Jerome, one of the early church fathers, who lived around about 340 AD to 420 AD, he actually went and lived in Bethlehem. He's known for translating the Bible into the Vulgate Bible, which is Latin. And when he had this to say about the Jewish children that he encountered, he said, there doesn't exist any Jewish child who does not know by heart the history from Adam to Zerubbabel, which basically implies all scripture. So maybe Jerome was a bit exaggerating in what he was saying, but from most of his things that he's written, it was reprovable. But what we can definitely conclude is that a Hebrew child was very well versed in scripture, and they knew the scripture. So whenever Jesus is talking to these Hebrews, they understood scripture very, very well. So let's go to the text, and I just want to start off with verse 27, the last part. It says here, go to the beginning. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. The reason I just want to touch on this section, because often people look at the scripture, and I'm sure some of you have heard it, they say, well, okay, Jesus chooses some and doesn't choose others. I'm not sure if you've heard that before. And that's typically a Calvinist approach. They've got a predestination where they say, unless God chose a certain amount of people, and only those can go to heaven, unless Jesus. But that text doesn't actually say that. Only says that Jesus chose. You see, if you take that in context of 1 Timothy 2:26, where God says Jesus came to save all. You see, so that would contradict the plain sense of the scripture. So simply Jesus is saying that he chooses, and he chooses everybody. Now, to the Hebrews, this would have been quite, those guys sitting there, they didn't have the New Testament, obviously, where Jesus is saying, so it would have meant a little bit something different. How did they interpret that? Because you think about it now, they are the Hebrew nation. James, just come stand here quickly. They are the Hebrew nation. Okay? You knew that you were chosen.
Yep.
Correct. And the fact that you're part of the 70 or the 72 means that Jesus specifically chose you as well. So what you're seeing, what is it, something called in Hebrew, which is called a remez. There's a hint towards something else. Because if you're chosen, and I'm telling you now that I'm going to choose, I'm actually telling you I'm choosing more. It's actually implying that Jesus is going to add people to this. Now, in Acts 10:9, we see that to prove that the Hebrews didn't believe the Gentiles would be chosen, Peter actually was very surprised when the Holy Spirit came on them. And it's basically, it's what is a hint towards something else, that Jesus would be choosing the Gentiles as well. I just want to get to, if we go to the next text, then take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if you're a Jewish person, when you read that scripture, the Peshat, which is the simple meaning of the text, would have been very clear to you. Because you would understand the term yoke and what it actually meant. But because we're Westerners, we don't know these terms that well, and they don't jump out of us. Because most of you, if I speak to you now, I said to you, what is a yolk? You would probably say, oh, it's the yolk of an egg. I remember my wife said that. Or it could be the yolk of two ox. And it is that, but what does Jesus imply by the yolk? And that's what we're just going to look at quickly. But before we start on that, I just want to give you a very brief introduction in Hebrew hermeneutics. Very brief. My wife says whenever somebody mentions the term hermeneutics, everybody switches off, they go to their phones and that. But I thought it would be just quite interesting. And the Hebrew word for hermeneutics or interpretation is the word pardes. If you write it in Hebrew, it would be P-R-D-S. If you write it in English, you add the vowels, which is P-A-R-D-E-S. But the word pardes, what do you think the word pardes means? What does it sound like? Pardes. Okay, it's not, okay. Didn't sound so clear to you. Okay. But the word pardes means paradise, the Garden of Eden. So it appears three times in the Aramaic New Testament. And it's basically when Jesus is on the cross and he speaks to the thief and he says, today we'll see you in paradise. That's once. When Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians, he talks about the third heaven. He speaks about paradise there. And then in Revelations, we see it says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church, to the one who is victorious. I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So this is the thought in the Hebrew mind, is that when all four levels of Hebrew interpretation is met, paradise is met. Very cool, eh? So pardes is an acronym for four things. The first one is pashat, which means a simple meaning. The second one is remes, which is basically a hint. When I was looking at the 70 and that first bit of scripture, that is a remes. So basically, whenever you see numbers, have a look at it and see what is the hidden meaning behind it. Adrash is basically the third level, and it's just an exploration of scriptures. So if you take that original scripture where we said Jesus chose them, and then we looked at Timothy, and Timothy then added to that, and all is chosen based on that, so that's figuring out what the scripture means. And then the last one is a suit. Now, that's the mystery that God reveals in Scripture. Hebrew rabbis basically spent hours studying Scripture. The last time I preached, I showed you that picture of Shalom with the four. You remember that? Now, that would typically be a suit where Shalom, the four pictures, meant destroy the authority that establishes chaos in your life. Okay, so but the simple term Peshat basically means the simple understanding. So if we read the scripture, that's basically what jumps out of it. There's a crowd of 10 people, this is what they're doing. And in English, it's the same as the literal principle in English when we look at interpreting scripture. We take the simple meaning and we analyze it through grammar, and we actually get to the simple meaning of the word. Now, the Peshat should be clear in the scripture, but because we're not Hebrew, we don't see it so straightforward. So what is a yoke? If we look at a dictionary, a yoke is basically something that binds two things together. So when you look at that text, Jesus is saying, take my whatever binds you as together upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will find rest for yourself. For my thing that binds us is easy and burden and light. Now, a Jewish rabbi in Jesus' time, when you look at historical Jesus, you see, we don't often study the historical Jesus, what was the life like about that, because we believe scripture defines scripture. But when these, studying the historical Jesus doesn't add, but it just explains things clearly, I think it's really great. And it's something that God put on my heart, is to actually study the historical, because God sort of said to me, well, if you understand what I was writing, you need to understand my people. And from the time that I've done this, it really just blows my mind, and the scripture just comes alive. But a rabbi often they spoke about Jesus and said, this rabbi speaks with authority. Now, the word authority is the word, comes from shmiak, is the word for authority. Now, in Jesus' time, only a rabbi that spoke, that had shmiak, authority, was allowed to interpret scripture. And the interpretation of scripture, guess, was called what? The yoke. So the yoke of the rabbi was his interpretation of scripture and what he taught. And so when Jesus spoke to his Talmud, or the people that he called to him, a rabbi would typically say, come and follow me and take my yoke upon you. Be imitators of me. Take my teaching. Take that upon me. And obviously now, at this point in time, I mean, Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet, but obviously he's teaching to these guys. So when we interpret it for ourselves, we need to look at it a little bit differently. But now the interesting part here as well is in the Luke account, the 72 return, and as I said earlier, and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. You see, this would have been quite interesting because the Hebrews now took, by Jesus' name, were casting out demons. Which wouldn't gel, if you think about it. So they take Jesus' name upon him, but then Jesus tells them it's better for their names to be written in heaven. And it's by who? It's by whose name? By the name of Jesus. So there's a hint of what's to come here. Now just to carry on with the yoke, in Galatians 5:1-6, it says, "For it is for the freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself to be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You are trying to be justified by law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, for though through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ neither circumcised nor uncircumcised has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed through love." So what yoked Israel to God? What was the covenant? The law and the prophets. So what yokes us to God? Jesus. The personhood of Jesus. The finished work of the cross. And Jesus is grace. You see, so now you're starting to see the picture about, now you sort of start seeing why the yoke is easy. You see, because once it's the yoke becomes Jesus and who he is and what he's done, it's an easy yoke. Very easy yoke. It's interesting, a little girl, a teacher once, she this is how children interpret scripture, so I found this very fascinating. Because I certainly did when I read this the first time. Teacher said to her class, she read the scripture and said, "My yoke is easy." And she said to them, "Who can tell me what this yoke is?" And the boy said, "A yoke is something that is put on the neck of an animal." And then the teacher asked him, "What is the yoke of God? What yoke puts God on us?" And this little girl said, that God puts his arms around our shoulders and he gives us a hug. Powerful, eh? You see, the yoke of religion is hard. And the burden is heavy when we look at religion. You see, the yoke of Christ comes to set us free for his works. You see, his works are actually easy when he's doing it, eh? You see, when we rely on ourselves and we spend, I need to pray at least 20 minutes today and I need to do that, and when it becomes self-centered, it becomes hard, it becomes a big burden. But you see, when we put that on Jesus, everything just becomes so simple and easy because we don't have to perform. You see, because the devil can find 50 things wrong with all of us every day, and tell us, and we'll never actually get off the ground. You see, and when we start looking at that Jesus is the one that did this, it changes everything. It changes your whole view on in life. Now, in John, the last time when I preached, I spoke about the names of God and what the names represented, and we saw that God is our salvation, he's our righteousness. He's our provider. He's our healer. He brings life. He brings shalom. He brings peace. He's every situation that I face, he's there already. He's here. The solution is done. Everything. Now in John, Jesus said, "I've manifested your name." When he was praying, he said, "I've manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world." So Jesus is saying, "I have manifested your name, God." So the name of God, what we've learned, he is that. Philippians says, "Who being in a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name." So every other name or everything that they knew, Jesus was exalted above that. Amazing, eh? So when you take the yoke of Jesus upon you, Jesus is your salvation. He is your righteousness. He is your justification. He is Emmanuel. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Everlasting Father. And to His government there's no end. So I'm going to conclude with this. So when Jesus says this, when you take my grace or me upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You see, when you take the yoke of Jesus upon you, there's rest in the soul. And there's peace in the soul. There's shalom in the poor. And for my grace, who I am is easy, and my burden is light. The doctrine of who I am is easy. Amen. No, sure. Yes, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that we'll have this deep, that we'll have a deep revelation of this, Lord God, that it is easy, Father. When we face troubles in our lives, when things are not going right, that we will know that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Yes, Father, we thank you, Father, that you've done it for us, Lord, that we don't have to do it ourselves. Father, I just pray that you just fill each one, every person here now, with a special anointing, Father. Just to have more revelation of the incredible grace of who you are. But also for our works, Lord. Father, that we would know that it's easy when we go out there to pray for the sick, Lord. That is not by anything that we've done. That by your name the sick will be healed. By your name the demons will run. By your name we will bring order in our lives and other lives, Lord. We don't have to be nervous when we go speak to people because you're there. You know, there was the one evening, I think Graham was actually with me, we went and prayed for a guy at hospital, and went there all eager. This guy must get healed and that. And I've never seen salvation happen so easy, so quickly. I mean, we spoke to this guy, we prayed for him, and I just said to him, do you want to accept Jesus? And this guy was just, yeah. Yeah, he said, I'd love to. I don't know if you remember that. And, you know, that guy passed away 2 weeks later. But he's in heaven. And, you know, the peace that came upon that, his family and the member of his family was amazing. And I walked away that evening, I just thought to myself, you know, when God does it and we're not even thinking about things, that's so much easier when we put that burden upon him. Thank you. Trust it. Bless you.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. We've got a teacher in the house. Amen. We had a real night of glory and grace. Hey, beautiful. Great word, Kubus. Thanks so much, bro. All right. Have a great week, folks. Pizza is for sale. I see the cappuccino machine is on. Is it?